So the 4th of July is coming up, and I'd like to say something that kind of reflects the American culture. You can't really go anywhere without hearing a reference to Star Wars, and even Johnny this morning said, "Luke, I am your father." So I'm going to start with a little Star Wars reference. Do you guys remember the scene where the Millennium Falcon is cruising through an asteroid field trying to get away from all the TIE fighters that are coming after them? Asteroids are blowing up. And then all of a sudden, this really big one comes, and Han Solo says, "I know where we're going to go. I know where we can hide." And he cruises the Millennium Falcon into this cave, into the middle of this giant asteroid, right? Turns out that's not a cave. It's a giant alien worm that almost eats them. But he thought it was a cave. And when I read Psalm 25, I thought that David was maybe in a cave when he wrote this. We know that David spent some time in caves because he was running away and hiding from Saul at one point during his life. He may have been hiding in a cave from his own son Absalom at a point in his life. But it was helpful for me to picture him in a cave. So if you want to do that as well, I'm not saying he absolutely was, but you might get a better feel for what he was going through. Now, even though he was probably hiding, maybe in a cave, I want to talk about how David was confident the whole time. Psalm 25 talks about David's confidence in the Lord, specifically his confidence in the friendship of the Lord. But before I dig into that, I want to ask you two questions. Have any of you ever had a relationship where you felt afraid constantly that the other person might lose interest in you? Have you ever had a relationship where you felt like you constantly needed to prove yourself to this other person? I was on the swim team in college, and it was a really big swim team, and coach was a tough guy. And I remember wanting to please him so badly. But every time I tried harder, I felt like another swimmer captured his attention. I remember him saying two encouraging words to me in all of my 4 years at college. And I worked so hard to get his approval. And swimming is really hard. And when he looked at me in my lane, I noticed. And I would swim even harder, and I would hold my breath longer. But it didn't really work out. And there are so many relationships like the one that I had with my coach, that all of us are in every day. It could be a relationship with our boss at work. It could be a boyfriend or girlfriend. It could be a teacher, a peer, a spouse, a pastor, and even our relationship with God. We feel like we need to prove ourselves, like we're never going to be good enough. But David did not act on the impulse to want to please God, by his righteousness alone, at least. And in Psalm 25, David was completely authentic and open in his requests he makes before the Lord. David understood that the nature of his friendship was not based on anything he did, but it was based on God's steadfast love for him. So I want to describe this steadfast love for a moment. The steadfast love of God is a promise-making, promise-keeping love. This steadfast love is covenantal. And when God makes a covenant, it means that he makes a promise with us that he will never break. God is completely faithful. And David knew that no matter how dirty, how rotten he was on the inside, because David had some major sin in his life, he knew that no matter how bad he was on the inside, he wanted to welcome God into that. He wanted to make himself known to God because he knew that only God could cleanse him of that, that only God could cure him, that only God could love him inside of all that mess. So, David shows us in Psalm 25, that his pure friendship with God starts with trust, is lived out in honest truth and is maintained with God's steadfast love. I'll say that one more time. It's kind of the thesis statement for my sermon. David shows us in Psalm 25 that his pure friendship with God starts with trust, is lived out in honest truth, and is maintained with God's steadfast love. So let's begin with trust. We look at verses 1 through 3, we can see that David expresses his complete trust in the Lord. David provides an image of him giving up his soul to the Lord. It's as if he's saying, "Take my life, Lord, I give all that I am to you." And David gives himself to the Lord by setting his heart on the promises of the Lord. In verse 3, David even quotes one of the promises that had been spoken to the prophet Isaiah. "Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame." And David really puts his trust in this promise. He truly believed that God would spare his life and dignity if he continued to wait on him. Now I wonder how often I really put my trust in God's promises. I think that I tend to have my heart set on the promises of the world rather than on the promises of God. Here's a simple example from my life. Matthew 11 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What an amazing promise. But most of the time when I feel weary and burdened, instead of turning to the Lord, I turn to the refrigerator. And recently I've been making a lot of really yummy smoothies. And I even put kale and vegetables in it, and it's really healthy and refreshing. But it's not satisfying to my soul. And God has promised to satisfy my soul. But I don't often turn to him and take him up on his promises. But David trusted in God by having his heart set on God's promises. These promises gave David confidence in the face of adversity. And David trusted in God's friendship. He had confidence in God's friendship. So moving on from trust to truth, David's friendship with God was lived out in truth. And by truth, I mean an openness with God and a desire to know God intimately, to know the truth of God, to know God's person. And David didn't want to keep anything of himself away from God. He was not ashamed to be honest. In verse 4 through 7, David asks God to lead him in truth. I think this is David's way of saying, "I want more of you, God. I want to know you more. Help me to follow you." Do you ever have moments like I do where God just seems too big to be true? Sometimes I wonder, did God really create all of this? Does God really love me this much that he sent his son to die for all of us? It just seems too big and I can't wrap my mind around it. And I ask God, is this okay to ask those questions? I think it is. God wants us to seek him. If we have little moments of doubt, that's okay. Approach him and ask him, "Lord, I need you to make yourself known to me right now. I want to know your truth." And when I do ask God to show himself to me, he really does. And I leave with a more full understanding of who he is. I leave with a more full understanding of his truth. So David put his trust in what he knew to be true about God. He asked, "Remember me according to your steadfast love and not according to my sins." He knew that God was full of mercy, and he also knew that he was full of sin, but he knew that God could cleanse him from his sin because he was full of mercy. So he opened himself up to God and disclosed the darkest truths of his heart and asked for forgiveness. And truth is hard. Right, guys? I have some friendships where I'm able to tell secrets. I'm able to disclose the truth to these friends because I trust them. There are some friendships where I don't tell all the truth. I have to keep some things from those friends, and that's okay. We can't tell everything to everybody. But one of my favorite things about marriage is the honesty that I can have with my wife. Even after 1 year, our anniversary is coming up on Saturday. I remembered. I often forget our wedding date, though. I think it's the 7th, when it's really the 6th, right? Okay. But anyway, I love being able to be honest with my wife. And only after a year, we know each other more than any other person. And I love that I can share anything about myself with my wife and know that she is still going to love me. When we got married, we made vows to persistently work towards loving each other completely in strength and in weakness. And Lara knows the intimate truth about the worst of me, yet she continues to love me. And God loves us that way. He's made vows to us. He's made a covenant with us. And David's friendship with the Lord was lived out in this honest truth, where David was sharing himself with the Lord, and he was seeking the truth of the Lord. And this honest truth produces intimacy. When you reveal a secret to someone and you trust them with that, and they hold that, and they help you with that, that is how intimacy is formed in relationships. So, when intimate truth is paired with complete trust, love flourishes. I'll say that again. When intimate truth is paired with complete trust, love flourishes. And that leads me to the third point, that God's friendship with David was maintained by God's steadfast love. It wasn't maintained by David's courage. It wasn't maintained by David's works. It was maintained by God's steadfast love towards him. David proclaims the goodness of God in verses 8 through 11. Even while his enemies are pursuing him, even while he's maybe hiding in a cave, David still finds reason to hope and rejoice. You guys remember the story of Paul and Silas? They were beaten and thrown into a prison and locked up. And what did they do? They sang praises to God. That takes so much confidence in God's friendship to be able to do that. I mean, when things don't go my way, I don't often sing praises to God. But I want to be more like that. When I get stuck in traffic, for example, what is usually my reaction? I get frustrated. I usually get frustrated with my wife. But instead, I want to take that time and say, wow, God's given me an opportunity to wait here in my car with my wife and talk with her about how she's doing. Maybe if she's not with me, it's an opportunity to pray instead of to be mad at the people all around me, you know? So verse 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. David knew that though he was hiding from his enemies, even at his worst moments, he was surrounded by God's love and faithfulness. This means that we can make decisions that are really going to hurt, but still have hope in God's love for us, still trust in God's goodness. God's love never fails. The path that the Falls Church has taken, for example, has been a really painful one. But you all can be confident in God's love for you, in God's purpose, in God's goodness. And now I want to say trust and truth and God's steadfast love are all major components of God, of David's friendship with God. But then in verses 12 through 14, we can see that David describes how fear is wrapped up in all of this. Fear. So, what are you saying, that you can be friends with someone that you are afraid of? That doesn't really make sense in our minds. But the fear of God is not so much being afraid of him, but it is reverence and awe of his power. It's like if someone assigned a bodyguard to you and it was a knight with all this armor and a big sword, you wouldn't be afraid of him because he was your bodyguard. He was protecting you. But you would revere him. You would look at him, wow, he looks intense. You would be at awe of his power. And God is very much like that. Think about brown bears. Brown bears are the largest mammals in North America, and they're very powerful. And when you go hiking and you see a brown bear cub, what are you told to do? Go up and hug it? Put a leash on it and walk with it for a while? No, you're supposed to get out of there, because mama bear is probably right behind the next tree, and she will attack anything that comes between her and her brown bear cub. And she will have wrath on the person that gets between. But God, his wrath is so much more intense against anyone that comes between him, or anything that comes between him and his children. The combination of God's power and his love should lead us to fear him and to depend on him. He desires that we trust him and seek his truth and embrace his love. And this is really cool. In verse 14, David writes, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." This means that God has made the secrets of his love known to us. He makes known to them his covenant is something that Jesus said in our gospel passage today. In John 15, Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So David says, God wants to tell us the secrets of his covenant. He wants to be intimate with us in that way. And Jesus said, "I have made all of the secrets of my Father known to you." So what are these secrets? What has Jesus made known to us? How do we get this intimacy in our friendship with God? Jesus spent his whole life living out the friendship of God with those around him. He spent the last 4 years of his life proclaiming the good news about God's friendship. And in John 15, Jesus spoke with his disciples right before he showed them the depth, how far this friendship would take him. He spoke with them right before he was going to be crucified. He was about to reveal God's friendship at its deepest level. Jesus described friendship as the willingness even to die for one another. He said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." God revealed the secrets of his friendship to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And Christ's death conquered the power of sin that stood between us and God. Christ bore the wrath of God upon himself because he was the only one that could. And a greater love has never been known. These are the secrets that Christ has made known to us. The secrets of his Father. God maintains his friendship with us through his steadfast love. Through Jesus, we are made sons and daughters of God. So if the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, fearing God for us today means to trust in and know the truth about Christ's passion. We do not have to be bound to others' approval of us, because we know that God loved us enough to die for us, even while we were still sinners, even while we were dirty. And we didn't have to earn that. It was free. So let's go back to the cave. Jesus was crucified, and he was put into a cave, into a tomb, and a stone was rolled in front. And in that cave, God showed us that new life can come from his friendship. Christ rose again, and he invites us into that new life. So, a cave is a place that sometimes God brings us. It's a difficult place where we follow him. We might be hiding from something that we know is not of him, that is not true. So an example I mentioned before, the false church is in a cave right now. False church held fast to their convictions and didn't change their values just to be accepted by those around them. You trusted and stood firm in the truth. And remember, when intimate truth is paired with complete trust, love flourishes. Believe that God is going to bless the false church and Christ Church Vienna because of the decisions that were made. And sometimes, well, I was going to say something to the students in here. There are still some students in here, right? Okay. I know, because every student experiences this, I know that you will be tempted at school to change certain things about yourself. There will be people in your life that don't like the fact that you're a Christian, or that you might be coming to church, or that you have a Bible. You might be ridiculed. And because of that ridicule, it's going to feel like you're being pushed into a cave. You might not be able to be friends with the popular kids. I felt that way. But in that cave, you can trust that God's friendship is strong and it's for you. And there is hope and there is sweetness in God's friendship. Businessmen and businesswomen, there is hope. I'm in a small group Bible study back in Pittsburgh, and one of the guys in the Bible study is a businessman. And he vowed to tell just the truth this whole year. Well, I guess for the rest of his life. But right now, he's telling only the truth. And this means there are lots of times in the business world where you can change a little number, you can tell a little white lie, or you can tell the incomplete truth, and it'll get you a long way. And he had a partner that was using some of the money for personal things. And my friend challenged him on that, and the partner said, "No, trust me, this is the way to do it. It's not actually using it for personal things. It'll work out." But he said, "This is not the truth. I can't do it." And they had to split their partnership over these lies that were going on. So he's kind of in a cave right now. But I believe God's love is going to bless him. God's friendship is going to maintain him. And to all of us, we need to remember Christ's example. He went to the cross for his friends. Do we fear God to the point that we are willing to trust him with our lives? David is encouraging us to trust in God's love, to know his truth, and to rest in his steadfast love. And I pray that that would give us confidence to be able to stand up and love others, even to the point of death, even to the point of sacrificing ourselves. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you are a God we can trust. And we thank you that you love us no matter what. God, your love is so great and it goes so deep. We thank you for bringing us all here. We pray that you would meet us here, Lord. Amen.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. Maybe pain in the night, joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid. Because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Pray that with us.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid. Because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails.